This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to another edition of Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes football and recruiting podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. David Lake joined by Gabby Urrutia, Monday, December 27th. Just want to timestamp it in the morning because it's a time where news can drop anytime, whatever that might be. So I want to let you guys know when we're recording this podcast. And yeah, let's just hop into it here, Gabby. But let me say this on the front end too. I am recording this podcast from a cabin in the mountains of Northwest Georgia. I think I have pretty good internet here, honestly, in this cabin. But if you hear noises like children running around, having fun, that's what's going on in my current situation. I'm recording this on quote unquote vacation. So, but with that being said, news never stops, right? So let's start the podcast here with the latest news on Sunday night that dropped. And Gabby, I think it was kind of trending this way, honestly. Once it was reported that Miami was delaying their arrival in El Paso, Texas for the Sun Bowl, the day before the game. To me, that was a sign that Miami felt like, you know, they were hopeful, but probably wasn't going to be realistic to play the game due to COVID stuff that the team is dealing with. So on Sunday night, it was officially announced that Miami had to pull out of the Sun Bowl. Feel bad for Washington State because it's my understanding they're already there in El Paso. I don't think they're going to get a replacement to play them. Is that right, Gabby? Have you seen anything in that regard?
No, I saw some of the teams, like some of the teams that were mentioned were like Syracuse, Texas, and some of them, but you can't just like whip together a roster in 4 days and just go play someone. Like that's kind of crazy too.
So disappointed. I mean, various players tweeted out, you know, statements or emojis of disappointment, which I feel for them because, look, I mean, players want to play, right? And I think they wanted to play in this game. One last hurrah. I think it was a winnable game. But alas, it's not going to happen. I mean, obviously, if you're a college football fan, you kind of see that this is happening at many different bowl games. So we will see how it impacts the rest of the college football landscape. But Gabby, I just want to take this here. You know, what did you want to see most out of the Sun Bowl that you're kind of like, man, I wish we got to see that. And now we don't. What do you think is going to be like the biggest impact of losing this game for Miami as we're looking towards 2022?
Yeah, honestly, for me, it's just I kind of wanted to just see them win one. Miami's had their struggles throughout the bowl game. I don't think that's a secret at this point. Like, you know, pretty obvious that that has not been a favorable sort of season for them. Kind of wanted to just see them get in the win column, man. I thought this was a winnable game. You know, they had won 5 of their last 6. I think I would have felt pretty good going into this Washington State game. You know, I think it just would have been a great way to just kind of kick everything off and, you know, head into the offseason, head into, you know, just winter workouts and, you know, if he calls it the fourth quarter program and even spring ball and all that stuff, I think it would have been just another, you know, positive step forward towards all of those things. And they need to sort of eradicate this bowl drought. They need to figure something out there. So to me, I just would have liked to just see them win a game in a bowl game like this. And, you know, in a setting like that they haven't done it in, you know, I guess since 2016 when they beat West Virginia?
West Virginia. And then before that, it was, I believe, 2005, 2006, something like that. So,
Which is crazy.
Yes, the last 15 years, 16 years, they've won one bowl game. So I agree. Would have been nice to kind of end that trend if they were able to win that game. For me, it's just kind of more of like I'm disappointed in two things in particular. Number one, I think it would have been, and look, my understanding is practices were kind of just tough. Like the practices leading up to this bowl game, I don't even know if they were necessarily even happening here recently.
I know there was coaches that had COVID.
Agreed. Yeah, there were. So, yeah, I mean, the build up to the game, I don't know if it definitely was not typical. No. And so what I'm getting at here is I don't know necessarily what type of true evaluation Mario Cristobal would have been able to get of this Miami roster that's going to return next year, but it's still something if they had played the game and even if they had practiced. And to me, that's kind of like a missed opportunity for Coach Cristobal to really get an understanding of this roster in person, right? Because he can always watch film and all that stuff, but it's different when you watch it live because you can see how different guys react to different situations, et cetera, et cetera. So, it's disappointing to me in that regard. And within that point, right, I feel for the younger players that really would have had a nice opportunity,
right,
to have this game be a launching point, right? I would even include Tyler Van Dyke in that conversation. I would definitely include some of the younger receivers, right? Who was going to step up on the outside for Charleston Rambo? You know, so guys like Jacoby George, who had a nice showing against Duke, could he have kept it rolling against Washington State? Romello Brinson, you know, Keyshawn Smith, of course. So, yeah, I mean, look, and on the defensive side, you know, Leonard Taylor, would have been nice to see him get some big time run in this game. Avante Williams, et cetera. So missed opportunity, but you know, maybe it is what it
Smith
is.
At, maybe some Chase Smith at linebacker.
That would have been great. Yep, that would have been great. So missed opportunity. Hope everyone at UM is going to get through this, whatever they're dealing with in terms of COVID positives, in a healthy way. And but we move on to 2022. And so that kind of transitions, Gabby, into what we're waiting for now in terms of news slash announcements. And that is Mario Cristobal building out his coaching staff. And I think since our last podcast, we've peppered the website at insidetheu.com with kind of what we're hearing in terms of guys either Coach Cristobal's talking with or guys we expect to be on staff. And one of the guys that we expect to be on staff is his defensive line coach at Oregon, Joe Salavea. So Gabby, I'll let you just take this first. You know, he's kind of a new name here for us, like Southeastern guys, East Coast guys, because his coaching career has been primarily west of the Rockies. So what is your reaction to that understanding that Joe Salavea is going to be Mario Cristobal's defensive line coach? Because, like, of the non-coordinators, you could argue, in my opinion, the two most important position coaches for any coaching staff is O-line, D-line. So Salavea is going to fill one of those roles. What was your initial reaction to, you know, hearing that understanding?
Yeah, I like the name. You know, I think that he's someone that's obviously proven that he could sort of coach the position. I mean, we look at what Kayvon Thibodeau's done. He was a part of that recruitment. I'm not sure if he was a primary, but I think he was at least the secondary on that recruitment. You know, he's a guy that I think expands Miami's recruiting territory in terms of just maybe not just in South Florida, but I think he's a guy that's able to sort of go out and do it in that way.
Right.
You know, so again, I would probably maybe initially concerned maybe for that reason too, just because, you know, South Florida typically at least these next few cycles, are producing defensive linemen when you consider, you know, Reuben Bain and, you know, Derek LeBlanc, guys like that, you know, just looking forward to the 2023 class. So, you know, him being a West Coast guy, I think there's naturally a concern, like, how is the fit going to sort of be down here? But again, I do think with his California ties, with his ties to Utah, which has been, you know, a state that's been producing talent at a pretty decent level, you know, just considering it's not probably, it's probably not the place where people look at and think, oh, there's probably a lot of big time dudes there. But I mean, that's where the Sewell brothers came out of. I mean, you look at Kingsley Sewell Matalia, the off of the five-star offensive lineman that came out of Utah. He signed with Oregon, you know, transferred back to BYU. You know, there's a lot of dudes that sort of come out
of there.
Penei Sewell, yeah, the Sewell brothers, and you know, all the, and he was the primary recruiter for Penei Sewell. Like, you know, that's what 24/7 Sports says here. So, you know, he's a dude that's gonna, that can identify top talent and sort of go get them. And you know, he has a couple five stars under his belt recently between Thibodeau and then the younger Sewell, who's Noel Sewell, who's a, you know, five star linebacker. You know, I can get on board with it. Again, I think I can naturally have concerns when someone makes like, when someone's a career West Coast guy or career Pac-12 guy or whatever it is and makes the move to South Florida. I just think there's a natural culture difference there. But, you know, I think that he's a dude that's going to be able to bring something new and different to Miami. And I'm all aboard with it, man. I think that, you know, there needs to be just sort of some newness here. I think there needs to be something. And I know Mario Cristobal, I think it's clear at this point that he's going to recruit nationally. So you need guys like that that are going to be okay. And, you know, they can show face in the West Coast and, you know, they're good over there. So I'm good with it. I'm sure I'll like it more as a, you know, we continue to see how he sort of moves forward with that role.
Yeah. I think we do, you know, people who, you know, fans of the Miami Hurricanes, et cetera, need to have an understanding that Coach Cristobal is, he's always going to, you know, chase the top talent in South Florida first and foremost, but at the same time, he's going to recruit nationally. And I don't know if we've necessarily seen that. I don't know, since what, Larry Coker / Butch Davis. And look, when I say recruit national, I think we saw like Al Golden was willing to recruit nationally as well, but he was recruiting kind of guys that were more developmental players. I think Coach Cristobal is going to recruit the best of the best nationally. And I understand, like, you know, Joe Salavea, the hesitancy there that he doesn't have South Florida connections. But I will say this. I mean, Mario Cristobal is going to fill in any holes that might exist with recruiting.
Right.
At every position, but he especially is going to pay attention to line of scrimmage recruiting. And so, yeah, I mean, look, honestly, my understanding of Joe Salavea is he's not necessarily a dog recruiter anyways. But again, you pair him, like Mario Cristobal covers all that up. I'll say that.
Yeah.
So,
like Mario Cristobal is not listed as a, like, we don't list head coaches as primary or secondary recruiters, but Mario Cristobal is probably the primary or secondary on a lot of these guys that we're talking about.
A lot. And honestly, probably all of the players on the line of scrimmage, all of them. So
we're seeing it now with Cyrus Moss. Like Mario Cristobal is the lead recruiter for Cyrus Moss.
Right. Like,
I don't think that that's a secret, but we just don't list it that way.
Right. So Mario Cristobal, he's going to fill in all the gaps, like I said. But I do like the Joe Salavea. My understanding with him is that he's a good culture guy. He's a guy that players like playing for. I think he does have a track record of developing guys. Obviously, most recently, Kayvon Thibodeau. And, you know, also on his roster, too, is Brandon Dorlis, who is a Deerfield Beach guy. I believe he was a three-star coming out of Deerfield Beach. And he's now definitely an NFL draft pick. He might even be an NFL draft pick in this upcoming draft if he decides to leave early. So he can develop guys. And then you mentioned, too, his connections in Utah, California. You know, Joe Salavea is of Polynesian descent. He's Polynesian. I think he was born in American Samoa. And so look, he has inroads in that community in Utah, California, I believe, you know, Colorado too, just West Coast got Polynesians. And, you know, in the coaching community at the college level, there is like a belief that, you know, there is an affinity for talented Polynesian players because they are known as guys that are extremely hardworking, kind of go about their business in a humble way. And on game day, they just rip your heart out. So having, I don't know, a handful of those type of dudes on your roster is going to always be a good thing. And Joe Salavea can, you know, open doors for Miami that honestly we don't ever really see, right? I mean, off the top of my head, I can't remember any Polynesians on Miami's roster. I'm sure there have been some. So if, you know, in the comment section, educate me for any listeners out there, but I can't remember any. And so look, again, it's going to be a new mindset for Miami under Mario Cristobal. It's going to be a national recruiting mindset. Of course, everything begins in South Florida. But you can't, if you want an elite roster, you can't recruit only South Florida. You got to be able to recruit Georgia. You got to be able to recruit Texas, California. You mentioned Utah. Utah's pretty underrated, honestly, with the big bodied players, right? O-line, D-line, linebacker. They produce some talented guys at those positions. So
even quarterback over the last couple of years.
Jackson Dart. Yep. So I like the hire. And look, again, Mario Cristobal is going to help recruit at every position. That's why he's a special head coach. That's what he brings to the table. It's almost like having an 11th assistant, right? With the way Mario Cristobal attacks recruiting as a head coach. So those are our thoughts on Joe Salavea. There's also some Oregon connections to know that we've talked about a little bit in the past, one of them in particular. But then a new name that I passed along on the website. But first, let's talk about just cornerbacks coach out at Oregon, Rod Chance, right? I believe this popped after our latest podcast, but Oregon announced that they were hiring a cornerbacks coach. Dan Lanning announced he was hiring a cornerbacks coach at Oregon, which means Rod Chance, their current or their former cornerbacks coach, who was under Mario Cristobal, is now looking for a new landing spot. What is your understanding about the potential of that happening? Are there conversations happening there, Gabby, from what you understand between Cristobal and Chance? What do we need to know there?
Yeah, I think there's definitely conversations being had. I think that there will continue to be more conversations had throughout the week. Oregon's playing in the Alamo Bowl, I believe, on the 29th. So, you know, they're already in San Antonio and they're already sort of, you know, doing their thing. So I would not be surprised if, you know, if just after that, you know, really conversations start to get deeper. I think that, you know, Rod Chance would be highly interested in coming down to South Florida. He played at St. Thomas Aquinas. He's a Broward County guy. He's already recruiting, you know, he was recruiting for Oregon, a bunch of the, you know, South Florida guys. Someone told me that he played with Damon Fagan's dad. Damon Fagan, you know, is the 2023 top 247 safety out of Plantation American Heritage. He's someone that I think already, you know, has a pretty decent chance of playing at Miami. And I think Rod Chance would put Miami in an even better spot with that. You know, so I think that he's a top target, you know, for Mario Cristobal at cornerback. I believe he also has other offers on the table too. So from what I understand, I think he's waiting to see if Mario Cristobal, you know, basically just gives him an offer. Cause I think if he puts that out there, I think there's a good chance that Rod Chance becomes the cornerbacks coach at Miami. And I think it'd be a good hire. Like, you know, just throughout his career at Oregon, he's worked with guys like, you know, Javon Holland as a defensive, you know, assistant. He was a big part of, you know, Javon Holland, and, you know, Miami Dolphins fans are really familiar with him. He became the cornerbacks coach for a year at Minnesota, and their pass defense went from number 56 nationally to number 9 nationally. And, you know, they won a share of the Big Ten West. So You know, he's a guy that's kind of done it at a high level now that he's gotten on the field. And even at Oregon, you know, he's done a lot with, even in that 2020 season where people opted out, he still had like three guys drafted or a couple guys make all conference at cornerback despite losing their top cornerback, you know, to an opt out. So, you know, I think Rod Chance would be a pretty good option for Miami as cornerbacks coach if that's where the direction that they went in.
So we'll keep an eye on that. Again, Mario Cristobal is going to be thorough with these coaching hires everywhere, right? And I do think you mentioned the Alamo Bowl December 29th. And I think this applies to a lot of different coaches that Mario Cristobal is kind of targeting. He's going to let them get through,
right,
you know, coaching in their bowl game. And so Rod Chance in Oregon, and this goes for Brian McClendon, Joe Salave as well. You know, let them get through the Alamo Bowl against Oklahoma, right? So yeah, on December 29th. So maybe news will drop December 30th, December 31st with those guys. One guy I wanted to pass along that I know is having conversations with Mario Cristobal. And I'll admit I am unclear in terms of like what role he would potentially fill at Miami, whether that's defensive coordinator, which I don't think it would be that, but you never know. Cornerbacks even, and outside linebackers. His name is Keith Hayward. He's currently the outside linebackers coach at Cal Berkeley. It is his first year coaching outside linebackers. And let me be clear, you know, like the modern day outside linebackers coach is essentially like the nickel coach or the strikers coach, as we know at Miami. He is a guy that's coached with Mario Cristobal at Oregon. He was the safeties coach there. He coached defensive backs at USC. He's coached defensive backs at Washington. He played at Oregon State. I believe he essentially got his coaching career started at Oregon State. So he's another West Coast guy. But he's a guy that is intriguing because of his recruiting connections in Southern California. For Oregon, he was the primary recruiter for Kayvon Thibodeau. So that's a huge pull by Keith Hayward there. Juju Smith-Schuster, he was a secondary recruiter for at USC. He's also coached and developed Adoree Jackson. He had 1 year at Louisville where he coached Jair Alexander before he went on to get drafted. So
he was also the primary on Javon Holland.
Right, right. So yeah, he's a big time recruiter in Southern California. So he's intriguing. Again, personally, I think he makes the most sense as outside linebackers coach or nickel coach, however you want to phrase it. But I will say this, he was a part of Mario Cristobal's staff at Oregon. He essentially got passed over for the defensive coordinator duties there twice. And it's my understanding that's why he moved to Cal Berkeley this past year in 2021 to coach there. So he does have defensive coordinator aspirations. I don't know if he would necessarily get that role at Miami. Maybe he would. But if it doesn't have, if Keith Hayward isn't interested, that might be a reason why, or maybe he doesn't want to coach outside linebackers anymore. He wants to coach secondary. So just a name to know there. Again, West Coast guy. And as Mario Cristobal wants to recruit nationally, a guy that could also help in that regard. So
another guy, I just want to throw this in there. I'm just kind of looking through his recruited guys. Some Miami fans might be familiar with him, but he was actually the primary for Billy Gibson from Southridge, who ended up, did he flip from Miami to Oregon or?
He did. Early in that cycle, he did. I'm not sure Billy Gibson did much.
No, I don't think he did, but it's cool. I mean, he came down to South Florida and he won a recruiting battle. So I think that's notable. He also signed a guy out of Chaminade, Madonna. Right. I don't remember. I don't recognize the name. Anthony Johnson.
Yeah. Anthony Johnson. I think he went to Louisville. And then I believe now he this past season, he played at Virginia. I believe he transferred to Virginia. Cool. I think so. Yeah, his 1 year at Louisville and a little bit at Oregon, he showed the ability to recruit South Florida. And honestly, too, recruiters recruit, right? Like, right. You don't have to necessarily be married to a region. Mario Cristobal showed that when he went to Oregon, right? He dominated the West Coast. Like, he dominated Florida, you know, and Texas earlier in his career. So recruiters can recruit. You put a big time recruiter anywhere and they're going to figure it out, because either you're about that life or you're not. So, and Keith Hayward is a guy who's about that life. And yeah, let's just close here before we take a break. Again, coaching stuff. This is how I'm approaching it. I think I want to see how these guys finish out, you know, these bowl games that of guys that I think Mario Cristobal's talking with, like Kendall Briles in Arkansas, right? Offensive coordinator. They're playing their bowl game on January 1st, the Outback Bowl against Penn State. If Kendall Briles does end up being the hire at offensive coordinator for Miami, I would imagine stuff won't leak in that regard until after that game. Again, Alamo Bowl's one to watch too. And for defensive coordinator, I do think Mario Cristobal's talking to a bunch of guys that are playing in like January 1st or 31st bowl games. And maybe even too, just NFL, it might be on an NFL timeline. I will say defensive coordinator is the one where I don't have a very good feel at all in terms of what he's thinking, other than, you know, some guys he's had preliminary conversations with. So we'll see. I still think we're probably a week away from really having some firm announcements in terms of staff, or at least like 8 of the 10 spots being filled, if that makes sense. So let's take a break there, and then we will get into some recruiting/talent acquisition news that we need to touch on.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's BOLL and Branch.com.
All right, we are back. Gabby, I think we just need to start here because, you know, I think when he first announced that he was hitting the portal, Oregon defensive tackle Jason Jones, just a massive human being, 6'7", 6'6", and a half, 320, big presence in the middle of the line of scrimmage. You know, when he first hit the portal, I think a lot of people expected Miami to be in play. I think Miami was in play, but he's a guy who's from the state of Alabama, and he decided to transfer to Auburn, I believe on Christmas Eve, if I have that right. So tough loss for Miami. Kind of how do you process that one?
Yeah, it's a tough one, but, you know, I think Miami, again, took a swing there. They just kind of, I mean, he decided he wanted to stay home and play for Auburn. I feel like, again, we're following trends. I think trends are starting to develop right in the transfer portal in a way. I think that this is just, you know, a guy moving closer to home. We've seen it, you know, it's worked out for Miami. It's worked against Miami. I think this is just sort of the give and take with the portal that you have to sort of live with. But yeah, man, I think it's a big loss. Again, if Miami wants to go multiple, Jason Jones is a guy that you can sort of throw sort of at the nose if you're going to go like, you know, with an odd front or anything like that. And I think he's someone that would have made Miami's, you know, defensive front much better, much more versatile. So I think it is a big loss, but, you know, grand scheme of things, this is a guy that was, you know, not on Miami's roster, you know, isn't coming to Miami. So just got to kind of deal with that and, you know, continue to find dudes that can come in and help.
High school recruiting, just a reminder, January 8th, still a big day for Miami in terms of learning the announcements, what the picks will be of top 50 players, wide receiver Kevin Coleman and edge rusher Cyrus Moss at the All-American Bowl. So Kevin Coleman from St. Louis area and Cyrus Moss from Las Vegas, Bishop Gorman. We've had some crystal balls trickle in for Kevin Coleman. And I know you recently fired one in there here, Gabby. Explain that one to us.
Yeah, you know, I feel like really, I think since his official visit weekend, things had sort of been trending that way. I think I was just being more cautious about actually going in with that crystal ball. We saw Josh Newberg from Knowles 247, who's been sort of following that recruitment the whole way as a guy that, you know, Florida State was really circling as one of their top dudes in that class. You know, Steve Wiltfong went ahead and moved forward with it. Alan True, the Midwest analyst for 24/7 Sports, he moved forward with the Miami crystal ball, you know, did a little bit more digging this morning just to sort of see where Miami was feeling at this point. And I think that there's some confidence in the building that Kevin Coleman's going to pick them. You know, they feel like his personality fits South Florida well, and you know that he's a guy that can, you know, maybe potentially come in and, you know, pick Miami on the 8th. I think that would be a huge addition for this class. Again, I feel like at least high school wise, Mario Cristobal is just doing an extraordinary job of just really flipping this class, you know, upside down in a way that, you know, his first three of his first four commitments could be, you know, the three top guys in the class. If Cyrus Moss hops on board, right, who I know we're going to talk about, that'd be four of his first five commits would be the four top guys in the 2022 class. So this would be an awesome effort by him. And, you know, again, I'm feeling confident right now. Still some time for this to play out, but I think you have to like where Miami stands right now.
Yeah, and Kevin Coleman, if he does pick Miami, he would be an early enrollee guy. So he'd be there in the spring competing for, you know, potentially some early playing time as a true freshman. You mentioned Cyrus Moss, the top 50 edge rusher out of Las Vegas, Bishop Gorman. Guy who has impressive tape, 6'6", 220, quick in space, would be a big-time addition. I think this happened before our last podcast. I think we touched on it, but currently, you know, the latest crystal ball there is USC from Blair Angulo, who is the regional analyst for the mountain region. So, you know, Utah, Nevada, Colorado, et cetera. But his confidence score on that pick for USC is just a 1. So it's just kind of like reading the tea leaves, shoot your shot type of situation. Do you have any feel there or still kind of wait and see mode for more info on what Cyrus Moss might be thinking?
Yeah, and I think what's notable too is when Blair initially put in that crystal ball, he put it at a three, which is still low confidence score, but he like intentionally moved it down to a one. So, well, however good he was feeling initially about USC when he put that crystal ball in, I think he's feeling less, you know, confident about that. So, again, I believe the fact that he didn't sign is a positive. We last podcast, we talked about how two of his teammates, Zion Branch and his younger brother, Zachariah Branch, probably were going to USC. Zion was already signed at that point. Zachariah just committed to USC, I think, on Christmas Eve as well. So, you know, there is that sort of Trojan, you know, movement from his high school. And I think the fact that USC just wasn't the clear pick, at least on signing day within that week, I think that's notable. I think Miami's given them a lot to think about. I think that they feel good about what they've been able to do. I'm not sure anyone really knows at this point what he's doing. I'm not sure if Cyrus Moss knows what he's doing at this point. Okay. But, you know, I think that there is some legitimate Miami smoke. I mean, just listening to Blair talk, he went on a, you know, his I think it was a college football recruiting podcast, which is just a quick hitter, 7-minute podcast. And, you know, he thinks Miami's a legitimate player. I think he still feels like USC might be in the driver's seat, but just slightly. And, you know, he wouldn't be surprised if Miami was the pick there either. So, you know, okay. I'm sort of leaning on the West Coast guys. This isn't a guy that we followed throughout the cycle. So, you know, just sort of leaning on their intel, I think Miami's a legitimate player in this one.
So it'll be interesting again, January 8th, the All-American Bowl. So still some time for Mario Cristobal, I guess, to recruit Cyrus Moss there and potentially win a huge battle. 2023 offers, Gabby, and maybe even some 2022 offers. I've seen a few guys get offered from Miami, some of the elite guys in 2022 that are still unsigned. Who are some of the ones you would highlight as guys that maybe Miami fans should know and follow?
Yeah. I mean, we could start off with 2022. I mean, they offered a couple 2022s recently. The first one is Christian Miller, you know, top 247 defensive lineman out of Cedar Grove up in Georgia. You know, it's thought to be a Georgia, Ohio State battle. I think Clemson's becoming involved now. I know there's a couple other schools into the mix now. I haven't really heard Miami come up, you know, just sort of, again, just following everything that, you know, he's telling people or that people are saying about him. So I'm not sure how much Miami's going to factor in there, but again, I mean, this is a 6'4", 285 pounder, would definitely bring some juice to Miami's room. Should they, you know, I guess, progress in that recruitment.
My understanding there is he was pretty interested in Oregon. Not like, I don't think he was more interested in Oregon than like Georgia and those schools you named there, but
yeah,
I think he might have even planned to visit Oregon and then he pulled that visit. So again, this is like a Mario Cristobal connection.
Yeah.
And can they sneak him in on an official visit here in January? To me, that's obviously the first step to watch, right? Can they pull that off?
Right.
And from there, you know, the chips fall where they fall. But go ahead.
Yeah, it's all about trying to get these guys on campus. Again, I spoke the same way about Kevin Coleman, about, you know, Cyrus Moss.
Right.
Like, you know, you're sort of skeptical until you see them make that effort to get on campus. And once they do, we see how rapidly things like that change. Another guy that I would highlight would definitely be Trevante Citizen. He's a, you know, former LSU commit out of Louisiana, Lake Charles Prep, another top 247 guy. Again, he was offered by Miami. I'm not really sure. I mean, he just kind of backed off the LSU commitment. It seems like there's a couple schools now that are getting involved. You know, Nebraska's offered, Florida's offered, Michigan State's offered, you know, just throughout the month of December. So I think he's just taking some more time to maybe reevaluate things and things like that. Again, he's a, you know, 11-3, 300-meter guy. So he's got some speed, All-American Bowl commit. So he's going to be playing in that January 8th game as well. So, you know, if you're a Miami fan, I think that's the game you're going to want to be watching, because it seems like there's a few guys in there that maybe on January 8th, you're not thinking, oh, these are going to be, you know, the Miami guys or anything like that. But I think down the road, again, when things open back up on January 14th, that the dead period opens back up again to a contact period and guys can officially visit and do all those things, you could see Miami move quickly the same way we saw them move quickly, you know, prior to this early signing day. So, I mean, right. I would definitely be locked into that January 8th, you know, All-American Bowl.
With Trevante too, you know, I think he's still interested in LSU. So
right, yeah.
Any guy who's from Louisiana and LSU wants it, it's, you know, we'll see how that one goes. But I agree with the offer, you know, Miami generally in recruiting, right? You want to fill every single position. You don't want to take a zero at any position. Yeah. And right now Miami's taking a zero at running back. So I'm here for the chase of one of the better running backs in this class out of Louisiana. Anyone else?
In 2022, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah. I don't really have anyone else in mind for 2022.
23. What's an offer that caught your attention here? You don't have to go through all of them, but.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about the five-star quarterbacks last pod, so I won't go there. I don't know. I'm going to be a little hot takey right now, but
sure.
I'm going to go with Spencer Fano, and he's the, you know, top 247 offensive lineman out of Utah. Again, they're building out these West Coast guys, these Utah guys. That Oregon staff had a ton of success in Utah. Spencer Fano, before Mario Cristobal and Alex Mirabal left, he had some crystal balls to Oregon. I think those are sitting on BYU right now. But from what I remember, he was the first kid that Alex Mirabal offered, you know, the first offensive lineman that Alex Mirabal offered. I think that that's a name that they're going to really just absolutely attack. So he's definitely one on the offensive line that I'm interested in. I'll give you one on defense too. And this is actually a guy that I got to see in person this year, and that's Gavin Hill. He plays at Buchholz up in Gainesville. I think that he has an extremely, extremely impressive frame. I mean, he is all of 6'3", 245. I saw him in person, and I didn't even realize that he was like him. Like, I just didn't even think about it because I saw them against St. Thomas Aquinas. And I was just like, who is this kid? Like, this kid's massive. And it's turned out to be just a top 247 defensive lineman. It was just so plainly obvious. So I'm really excited to see how he's going to continue to grow and develop, because you could still tell he's young and growing. So, you know, that's a defensive lineman that they offered. We're talking about the trenches. It seems like that's where Mario Cristobal is going to attack. And I think that Gavin Hill could definitely be a name to know there.
Is he an edge guy or more of an interior guy, in your opinion, moving forward?
I mean, I feel like he's right now, he could go either way. Again, like, I could see him maybe being inside. I could see him sort of kicking out to the edge. You know, I feel like he's very much built in like the, you know, potentially like the Nigel Kelly type of frame, you know, the way that he could sort of be both, but I would keep him listed just the way that we sort of organize it. I would keep him listed as a defensive lineman rather than, you know, a pure edge guy. He's not the 6'4". 225 type, like a Cyrus Moss. He's more of the, right. Or he's not like a Kenyatta Jackson type. I think he could probably do a little bit of both, but I could see him getting thicker and maybe being a guy that's a big, you know, athletic interior guy.
So we'll wrap up the podcast on this note. So on Christmas Day, Gabby, I dropped like a little fun, you know, shoot your shot, way too early crystal ball picks for Miami for this 2023 class, right? And I did them all with a confidence score of 1. So I'm having fun. I do, you know, I made these predictions based on, you know, background knowledge and or previous relationships with Mario Cristobal at Oregon that date back to there. And of course, you know, these crystal ball predictions got a little bit of a stir. I had some Alabama fans DM me on Twitter, you know, telling me how I'm crazy and all that, which isn't always interesting. So, you know, again, I was just having fun, but I do think, you know, I made what, 12? I would bet I hit on 7, at least 7 of those crystal ball predictions. So I just wanted to, you know, again, if you want to go check out the article, check out InsideTheU.com. But it was a mix of South Florida guys and like national big time guys. But I'm curious, Gabby, when you saw the article, give me 2 guys where you're like, I can see where David's coming from, but man, that one's a little crazy.
I could see where you're coming from, but that's a little crazy. Okay. I think the first one I would probably go with is Javon Brown out of Deerfield Beach.
Okay.
And it was honestly just maybe just a timing thing, because then he dropped like a top 7 that Miami wasn't including in. But I also think that it's really early in this process. And I feel like one thing I learned a lot this past cycle, which I'm really grateful for, is that what you have to take every, I feel like you got to take some stuff with a grain of salt early in the cycle, right, especially with these top groups, because you see these top groups form and it's just like, you know, in 6 months, it looks so different. So, you know, Jayvon Brown is a guy that if Miami pursues, I could see Miami being firmly in the mix with that one. So that was one that I was probably like,
the thing I'm curious about Brown, he's a linebacker at a Deerfield Beach, right? Four-star guy. And if you watch his tape, it's pretty big time in terms of instincts, in terms of speed to the ball. But the one thing I do wonder with him is his height, is his size. He's listed at 6 feet in the database. If he is 6 feet, then yeah, he's going to be a big time recruit. If he's closer to 5'10 and a half, which I don't know, like I've never sized him up in person. But if he's 5'10 and a half, 5'11 ish, then I'm not so sure that, you know, he's going to be an elite recruit. But if he is 6 feet, he's a big time player. And he's the I put him on the list because he's the type of linebacker that Mario Cristobal cannot leave, not let leave South Florida, right? In my opinion, just watching him on tape. So that's why I threw him on the list. But yeah, I mean, that one is definitely a head scratcher. I agree.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I don't honestly have like a huge issue with any of the other ones. Jaden Wayne, he went to Miami, like he's actually been on campus. So I don't think that that's a huge stretch. I just think with the comp from a competition standpoint, I think that's going to be a tough pool. But again, this is Mario Cristobal. So again, I feel like it's hard to write him off at this point. I feel like these are just like the old way mentalities.
Yeah,
that
loser mentality.
Yeah, man. I need to just like eradicate from my brain. So, you know, I'm all in on the Jaden Wayne.
I think Wayne's first like big offer
was from Oregon.
Oregon too.
It was his first Power Five offer was from Oregon. So I think there is some sort of, you know, there's definitely a relationship with that staff for sure. And I think he's been on campus with them before too. So I think that that's definitely notable. And then Samuel Mpemba, again, I don't have an issue with it. I'm still skeptical about the whole
five star defensive lineman / tight end out of IMG, freak athlete.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, again, I'm just still skeptical about the IMG stuff. I know Jaleel Skinner happened, but I feel like, it's just, these are just like the toxic things that I've just been like programmed at this point to just believe. Right. But, you know, I could see a situation where, you know, Miami, you know, works that out. Again, he's really close with Jaleel Skinner. They worked out together at tight end. I do like him better as a defensive end. I think that he could be like a big, big, big time defensive end. So, other than that, honestly, I don't have any huge, I thought Peyton Kirkland was like a nice long shot for sure. I think that he's someone that Mario Cristobal could definitely work on and, you know, eventually make happen. And otherwise, really, I don't have any other, like, I didn't see anything else. And I was just like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. And I didn't really think that about either of them, but, you know, there's some that, you know, are maybe more solid than others, but I mean, I could honestly live with either of these.
What's the one where you're like, what's the one you feel like is the biggest lock? Like David should have made that a confidence score of 5 or more.
I don't want to like trip people out with this because I'm not trying to set the stage for this or anything, but I might go with Jaylen Brown.
Wow.
Who's the 5-star wide receiver out of Gulliver.
Okay, I thought you were going to go like Reuben Bain or something.
Yeah, I could go. Reuben Bain is the easy one, but I'm not trying to like Reuben Bain. I would say for sure. If I were going in right now, I'd probably go in with like a 5 confidence score on Reuben Bain. But I might. I'm not going to do it. But I might like if
there's
I were doing
it.
Go. Yeah, there's a long way to go, but I think Miami's in a better spot with Jaylen Brown than some people might think right now. I mean, I've been talking to with his father and stuff like that. And I think that Miami's going to be pretty tough to beat in this one, at least how it's looking right now in terms of just like how much of a priority Mario Cristobal seems to be making Brown and his family. I could see him, you know, eventually being in the class.
And I would say this too, outside of Javont Brown, the linebacker we discussed earlier, the South Florida guys I did include, I do feel really good about if Miami wants to go all in on them. So,
and they will. They will.
Right. So, recruiting is going to hit another level. from a South Florida standpoint. And honestly, too, I feel this way, Gabby. Tell me if this is just too hot takey or if I'm just like, you know, taking a bath too much in this Mario Cristobal hype. If you were going to say, like, if I told you Mario Cristobal is going to land at least 1 5-star every cycle, is that crazy talk to you?
No, I don't think that's crazy talk at all.
What about two?
Two would be, I think that could eventually become the possibility. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if even like in 2023, he signed
right.
2 5-stars. I feel like that's sort of what he started doing at Oregon. And again, you just consider the landscape and where he is. There's going to be 5 stars. There's going to be at least a couple 5 stars between Dade County and, like, you know, Tampa, Orlando, Central Florida. Like, that area will always have a few 5 stars, I think. I feel like it's typically the case, or if not extremely high rated 4 stars. So, you know, I don't think that that's crazy at all to say that 2 5, like Mario Cristobal could get to a point where he's eventually bringing in at least 2 5-stars. A cycle. I wouldn't be surprised that at one point, you know, it's again, I think it's going to be fluctuate, obviously, but I think that it's fair to expect that Miami starts to land 5 stars.
Agreed. And I'll say this, like, you know, talking to various people in the coaching community, and these are like people that have no connection to Miami right now, but they feel like, I can't tell you how many people have said to me, yeah, I mean, Miami's going to land a top 5 class starting in 2023. Like, the expectation now with Mario Cristobal at Miami should be top 5 classes every year.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know if I'm quite there yet. I'll start with top 10 classes.
Right. That's where I'm at. We're going to have to ease our way into this like new like luxurious life that we're living now.
But yeah, I mean, look, that's the respect Mario Cristobal has from a recruiting standpoint and a talent acquisition standpoint.
And so. I think I said on one of the other podcasts, I think that's the standard, like, you know, within those walls, I think the standard is going to be top 5. I was told top 3, like they want to sign a top 3 class. Like that is the ceiling that's like a goal that they're setting for themselves. And there's sign a top 3 class every year. So if it's top 5, if it's top 10, if it's top 7, I mean, I think that is fair to expect because, again, I think that's what they're expecting from themselves at this point.
And to land a top 3 class, you have to land at least 3 5-stars, right? So right now, early signing period, Texas A&M, number 1 class, they have 5 5-stars. Alabama, number 2 class, 3 5-stars. Georgia, number 3 class, 5 5-stars. So Miami's going to, if Miami signs a top 3 class next year, it's going to be, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5 stars.
For sure.
So it'll be fun to watch in this 2022 cycle, right? Mario Cristobal still in the mix for a 5-star in Shamar Stewart. And I'm sure the updates will be interesting in that recruitment here in the month of January. So with that, we will close out the podcast. Appreciate all you guys listening. Sorry if this podcast was weird/off because I'm on vacation in Georgia, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks for hanging in there with us. And, you know, look, I think we will wait for news. Like if big news breaks, you know, in terms of like a coordinator hire, et cetera, et cetera, we will hop back on the podcast.
For sure.
But this might be it for this week. Now that the games are over, we might just have kind of a once a week podcast situation going on. And if it's multiple podcasts in a week, it's because we are reacting to big news. So with that, we will wish everyone a happy New Year's. And till next time, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.